Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every day at 6 o'clock, we give you the top stories at 105throughthefan.com, and we do have some breaking news over there powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today, Indeed.com/hire. This went up last hour. Ian Rappaport, NFL.com, was the first to report it. Linebacker Leighton Vander Esch not slated to play Sunday because of a back issue now. He was not on the injury report Wednesday or today. It's unknown when he suffered this injury. Vander Esch returned to the field the last 2 weeks after missing week 9. And they went over the Giants with a neck injury, and it is a developing news story. So that'll be one of the big ones tomorrow when we get up, and we'll be heading for Jerry Jones at 10:30 during the KNC Masterpiece. And Jason Garrett will talk to the media as well around that time. So several opportunities. Mike Fisher will join us at 3:20. That's going to be the big story tomorrow. How did it happen there with Leighton Vander Esch?
Okay, so I'm going to start with, I don't hate this. I hope Leighton Vander Esch is back and neck and everything are healed, but he hadn't had the same strengths this year that I'd gotten used to with Leighton Vander Esch. I had gotten used to Leighton Vander Esch. My favorite thing about him was, despite the fact that he's kind of a giant man, that's a full-size linebacker, that when he's stuck in space against a little guy, a year ago, he tackled everyone. You did not get away from Leighton Vander Esch. And this year, it's almost the exact opposite. I don't know if it's a product of an injured neck or now Rappaport talking about his back. But if you told me that, hey, for one game against a very veteran quarterback and a really smart coach who loves the screen game and loves the underneath passes, I'm going to take away this year's version of Leighton Vander Esch, and Sean Lee's going to have to play more. I say, I think right now the Cowboys have two injuries on defense that are going to benefit them while they play the Patriots, and that's Jordan Lewis in, and that's Sean Lee in.
Let me ask you this. How many times do you play three linebackers against the Patriots? Because
More often than a lot of
so
teams.
So I'm with you.
And Joe Thomas hasn't practiced the last 2 days, so they may be very shorthanded.
So I'm with you when you're in your nickel defense, when you just need two linebackers. But I feel like this does hurt if you're going to play a three linebacker set.
Oh, yeah, especially with Joe out. I mean, if Joe and Leighton Vander Esch are out, I mean, you're an injury away from having your fifth best linebacker on your team pressed into action now. So, do you think that would make them play more nickel than possible, or more nickel than usual?
I guess, because your only other options, I guess you've got Luke Gifford on the roster and Justin March, not March Lillard, Justin March. But one of them, I guess, I mean, if Vander Esch isn't going to play and Joe Thomas doesn't practice tomorrow and ends up not playing, it's going to be Jalen Smith, Sean Lee, and Justin March is going to have to play, which is not your favorite thing. But I feel good about where you are in nickel. It is interesting, though, Mike, because you bring up a good point. The Patriots will play a fullback on you.
Yeah.
They'll play two running backs. They'll play multiple tight ends.
They love it.
They'll try to put you in a spot where you're putting – but against them, you know what? I don't mind playing nickel against whatever they put out there, because they're one of those teams that'll show you two or three tight ends and a fullback to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll show you spread – to run it. So I don't mind if you're stuck in nickel all the time.
Do you think we'll find out at the end of this season that Leighton played hurt most of the time?
Yes.
That he had a bad year and it was just like, guys, he tried to fight through things that caused him to be somewhat of a bad tackler. I know this is more mental than physical, but maybe if your body isn't responding the way you want it to, that he was late at reacting at things at times, but it was just the body not really being able to push it and go as quick as he wanted to go.
I mean, up to this point, he had the neck stinger and now the back. I hadn't heard anything about knees, but who knows what kind of things they're just kind of going along with. Yeah. What a weird type of deal, though, to get through practice and not be on the injury report and then have this come out. Those backs can go on you at the weirdest times, though. Mike, I mean, weren't you just hanging out in bed or something when it first happened?
I guess I'm already freaking. I know the second one, I was laying sod at my wife's office. yeah. on a rainy day, and it wasn't that big of a deal, and I did it, and then later that day, my back started bugging me, and the next day, it was way worse, and then the next day, I'm going in, and they're like, yeah, you need surgery. Like, it was like that quick the second time, but all I was doing was bending down and not lifting big weights or doing anything crazy.
I mean, it could have been just getting dressed or undressed or bending down, getting out of a tub, getting in it. And it, you know, the back is really, really weird. So hopefully this isn't something that is significant. But I would say, since it didn't happen at practice and all of a sudden it's like, boom, he's not playing on a Thursday night, that's not – because if it was minor, they'd be like, oh, yeah, we're going to get in for treatment tomorrow and ice it, and then we'll see as the day approaches, to already rule it out suddenly after the I hope it wasn't something that was quick.
What was – I'm trying to find their injury report again. Was he on it today?
No.
Okay, so that means he practiced fully today. He had nothing wrong with him. And maybe now suddenly he could have got hurt at practice, or you could have some
very late in the practice
weird thing.
You know, and this is such a tough time for the Cowboys because they play Sunday, Thursday, Thursday. And I get it. Maybe for this game, playing Sean Lee is better. I heard Jeff and understand and believe that. But, boy, you're going to have a turnaround on a guy that's in his mid-30s if I have Sean Lee's age right. That he might have to play almost every snap on Sunday and then maybe have to play every snap on Thursday.
Woo.
That could be really tough on his body to try to keep him healthy down the stretch.
And, you know, I was bullish on Sean Lee a couple, 2-3 weeks ago. I said, man, here's why your defense hasn't been the same. And, you know, since then he's been playing probably 50% or more of the snaps, and it did not snap back into the kind of Sean Lee that we remember. He's pretty inconsistent, and he did have a great game. What was that, against the Eagles or the Giants? He did have a great game, but unfortunately that can't be the norm for him. Brian Broaddus, there's a story up about Brian Broaddus here at 105throughthefan.com. And the story is, he's joined our pre- and post-game show coverage. Brian Broaddus, the great writer, you know, and he joins us all the time, and he gives great insights. He's the number one must-follow for all Cowboys fans. Yeah, just because of how good he is at breaking down the matchups and the personnel and his insights. He's an insider and a film breaker. He's just incredible. But anyway, he's going to be joining our pre- and post-game show. He stepped away from DallasCowboys.com. Was that earlier this week or late last week? And people have been wondering, what's Brian going to do next? And, you know, obviously the pre- and post-game show isn't going to take up 5 days a week or anything like that. But for at least on Cowboys game days, he is going to be joining us here at 105.3 The Fan, 3 hours before the game and for 3 hours after the game. You get Brian Broaddus, former NFL scout, front office member, and an incredible resource here at The Fan, getting a bigger job description with us. So that's great.
I think that is the you throw around the term best a lot, especially in sports radio, but I think that it probably is the best Cowboys resource on the planet. So to have him on pre and post, go ahead and lock it in, everybody.
Yeah, when it comes to broadcasting, does not get any better. The ability of Broaddus, you know what it comes down to is he's explaining incredibly difficult concepts, but in layman's terms, without speaking over your head and without condescending, right?
Yes,
he's you know he that's a it's a fine line to balance.
And unless it's like Mike and he asks a bad question, then he'll have to condescend on him a little bit.
Yeah, but that's intentional.
Yes. You know?
Okay, why the Dallas Cowboys are better than their 6-4 record is the story up from Ari Temkin.
Oh, Mike ain't going to like this.
Go ahead. I liked Ari's article way better last week. Okay. I texted him. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
But this one is, you know, just all about all the numbers. And I try my best to look at them as a 7-3 team instead of a 6-4 team. But you can't really throw out the Jets game.
You can't.
Because that did happen. You were unable to overcome adversity and lost to a team that shortly thereafter lost to the Miami Dolphins. It's incredibly embarrassing that happened. But I do think it is relevant because it shows just how much this team is capable of overlooking or not being focused or whatever all went into that game. It shows that their defense is so susceptible that a guy coming back from mono, they didn't have a running game. Their receivers weren't making plays, but all of that stuff happened. You weren't missing much from the defensive side.
No, and then the next couple of weeks, that team went out there and just got destroyed.
Yeah.
The Jets just got destroyed. But they beat you.
Okay, coming up at 6:20. I know a lot of you people throughout the day have been sounding off on the Autoflex Leasing fan text about Luka Doncic, right?
Okay.
And coming up at 6:20, we want to do what you're drinking and what you're thinking about Luka.
Okay.
Number 77. And it's the
you
one.
You might get some haters.
Absolutely.
We're getting
yeah.
haters on the text yeah. about Luka today.
Yeah, that you know, that's kind of what I'm looking for. It's your opportunity here on DFW Sports Station to tell us why we are wrong. I did move Luka into my top four player rankings today. I did my video about that. It's also up at 105thefan.com if you want some expanded details from yours truly on those topics. But I thought because Luka and James Harden have been so brilliant in these first 13 or 15 games that they were deserving of being elevated over an idol, Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Kevin Durant who, you know, is going to be 32, 33 and coming off an Achilles. I don't think we can assume Kevin Durant is going to go back to being superior to what those two players are. And, you know, James Harden's in the process of trying to average 40 damn points per game. It's unbelievable. 39 points. So, you know, that's deserving of elevation, and Luka Doncic is as well. So your chance to sound off is coming up here at 620 at 877-881-1053. If you need something to watch tonight, though, here you go. Stars hosting the Winnipeg Jets. It's coming up in an hour and 20 minutes. Winnipeg beat Dallas about 10 days ago. It was 5 games ago. And since then, the Stars have been winning big, winning in regulation. The Jets now, they're sitting 1 point ahead of the Stars in the division. And the great thing about this team, this Dallas Stars team, you look at this run that they're on, and they don't often happen like this, right? Where you're like, wow, you know, a team's, what is it, 11-1-1 over the last 13 games?
Yes.
These are rare types of streaks in sports. Usually when it happens, it's something like what the Texas Rangers were doing in 2016 or 2017, where it's like, wow, their record in one-run games is just amazing. It's historic. Right. The Stars are kicking the crap out of most teams.
Yeah, they almost they missed the extra point in their last game, but they definitely put up six. And one of my favorite things is just looking at the numbers for this team. Is that Haskinen is second on the team in points behind Tyler Seguin. So it's like you got your little Luka out there on the Stars. And I would point everybody to, as they're getting hot now, they're going to draw more attention. And I'll be honest, I'll be locked into more Stars games. If you want super in-depth analysis because of how awesome they've been doing, Spittle and Shippy did about a 90-minute Sweaters Forever podcast. It's on 105.3thefan.com. But it's awesome that the Stars have turned it around so quickly and that they're so hot. And they've got a few guys on the team. I know Roope Hintz is another young guy.
He hasn't been playing a lot, though. He's been hurt.
He's got 9 goals this year.
Wow.
So, like, they've also got a group of young guys where it's not like it's, hey, Seguin, Ben, that's what you got. It's the scoring is coming from Seguin, Haskinen, Pavelski, then Ben, Roope Hintz, Radulov, Radek Foxa. Like they've got more than just one line of guys to score. So it's going to be fun to get locked in on the Stars.
Yeah, it feels like this team, the run they're on, combined with what they did last May, it just seems like it's spelling that this is a real-life contender. So you have the Stars, I think, becoming a real-life contender. The Mavs are one move away. Are the Cowboys, you know, their advanced stats, their analytics definitely say they're a contender. Maybe they're going to start playing like that over the last 6 games. And, you know, one of these decades, the Rangers will fall into a good team again. You know, they'll get lucky with a trade or, you know, something amazing will happen for them. But to have 3 of the 4 right now looking really, really good, it's an amazing time to be a sports fan here in DFW. And, yeah, the Stars are doing it all. They're scoring like 4 goals most games. They're playing defense. They're getting good goaltender play as well from Bishop. And it's starting to feel like that team that made a great run late in the regular season last year and then won a playoff series. Okay, we'd love to have your Luka Doncic opinion here at 877-881-1053 if you want to call in. That'd be great. We do have a little bit of time to do that around the Patriots story that I was looking to get in last hour. They're a team that is 9-1, but in New England, the media, the fans are panicking because of the loss to the Ravens and then only scoring 17 against Philly. And it's kind of the same thing with the Cowboys where they have bad teams on their schedule that they dominated. But anytime they come up against a reasonable team, the Patriots have looked much, much more mortal. So now the Patriots offense and is it dead is the big topic. Tom Brady was asked, And he said, I think over 20 years, we've done a lot of different things, and we'll try to find some different things this year. But he had to go. They asked him, what do you like about last week's game where he didn't throw a touchdown pass? He's like, well, it was great in the fourth quarter when we got the ball at the 2-yard line that we could get it out to the 40. So then our punter could try to pin them down deep into their side.
That was the highlight of the game?
But, yeah, he's like, yeah, that's what – but and he's been kind of surly. He kind of said that, like, well, I guess if you got to find something, we're really proud of how we didn't let them get the ball at midfield.
Well, look, they have a different standard in New England. And I think if we covered that team year in and year out, maybe you would be picking apart a one-loss football team, because that was – I watched them play the Eagles, the shorthanded Eagles, and it was like, holy cow, this does not look good. I remember watching them play the Bills, and it was like, man, this Patriots offense doesn't seem like they got a whole lot if you can play defense. So I get it. You're a one-loss team, but they got concerns.
Maybe it'll be closer than I think. I don't think this will be that close of a game on Sunday afternoon, but there's two things that say it's going to be a close game. If the Cowboys play an average to good team – they lose in a close game. And if the Patriots play a good team, they win, but it's a close win.
Yeah.
So if it works out the way it's supposed to work out, the Cowboys will be competitive and lose, and the Patriots won't look dominant and win.
Well, maybe the Cowboys are the cure for what ails the Patriots. I don't know. But for right now, I'm siding with Brett Favre on this. He was on his podcast, and he said if it happens 3 or 4 weeks from now where they're struggling and they're relying on defense, maybe I'll start getting nervous if I'm a Patriots fan. But, you know, he said this is normal, and we see it all the time. The difference is Brady now has no weapons other than Edelman, and he's 42 years old, which makes it feel a lot more credible that they could be very vulnerable. Okay, it's time to take your calls here. What you drinking and what you thinking about Luka Doncic at 877-881-1053. Have we been going way overboard with this dude all day long, or you think we're right on? It's next on The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Let's take your phone calls here on Luka Doncic. What do you think? You've heard The Fan today. We've seen some of you on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Wanted to give more people an opportunity. We'll take your calls at 877-881-1053. You know, how many players would you take over him if you had to win a series right now, if you were starting any season? I do have the Greek Freak. I have LeBron James, and I have Kawhi Leonard. I have Luka tied for fourth with James Harden. And maybe I'd choose Luka because so far we've seen James Harden choke in the playoffs again and again, and Luka's record in the postseason so far is non-existent, so I'll assume it won't be as bad as James Harden's. Do you believe he'll win a title in the next 5 years? Let's call it 5 years for Luka Doncic. Do you believe he'll win a title during his career? Are you afraid he could leave? How about that one? You know, that's the thing that superstars do. Boy,
the easiest answer to the championships is no, just because how hard it is. But man, I'll be disappointed with what I've seen from Luka if they can't build a championship team around him. I'll just say in the next 8 years, because he's in year two. I believe that he'll give us 10 years. And if we don't win a championship in those 10 years, because I think we'll be really good, then I think he could leave at 29 years old. He could decide, hey, I only have like 5 to 8 more years to play, and we've proven that we're not going to win here.
I love it. I love it. And it is a Thirsty Thursday, by the way. If you want to tell us what you're drinking and what you think about Luka, that would be outstanding right here. And then, you know, if your calls are boring or if we run out of them, we'll go to some Cowboys audio. Damn. We got good stuff from the Star. You know, it's Cowboys Patriots weekend. We're taking Mavs phone calls, something that hasn't happened since 2011. That's what's going down right now in the G-Bag Nation. How about we start with Blair in Dallas? You're in the Nation, Blair. What do you think?
Hey, what I'm thinking of, what I'm drinking when I get to the crib is this Jose Cuervo. But what I'm thinking about Luka is he living up to the hype. At first, I was mad that the Mavericks traded Dennis Smith. But then I started watching Luka. I said, oh, yeah, he's young, and he already pretty much there. And I think within 5 years, if they build, like what he said earlier, if they put that one more piece, the Mavericks could win one of them.
Yeah.
And I give him that, but I don't think he's leaving either. And then you said James Harden. Who said they'll put James Harden with him?
Yeah, I have him and James Harden tied for fourth best right now in the NBA.
No, I'll put James Harden over Luka. I'll put Luka at fifth.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Hey, if you want to go James Harden, that's fine. Our guy has more assists, more rebounds, and is shooting 8% better from the floor right now than James Harden.
So if you had one shot, buzzer beater, game winner, you give it to Luka over James Harden?
Well, I didn't say that. I 48 minute game. If I got one shot, I'll take James Harden because you know what? He'll probably draw a foul and get to the free throw line. I appreciate the call, Blair. It opens the line at 877-881-1053.
Why does he keep using a fake name?
Who, Blair? Oh, Errol Spence.
That's Errol Spence.
Here's what I wonder is if Luka ever gets a guy like Clint Capela. Clint Capela grabbed 21 rebounds last night.
Yeah.
I wonder what Luka's rebounds would be if we had a dude, you know, ripping down more rebounds.
I wouldn't mind if he was only getting 7 a game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying James Harden would average 10. He's never even got close to averaging 10 rebounds. But it'd be nice if we got a guy who was just there ripping down 12 to 15 rebounds a night. And we're like, Luka, you don't have to come down here a lot and get these. I'll get all these for you.
I like how James is heading home to drink that Jose Cuervo. I think that's the Migos branded tequila.
I believe his name is Blair.
Okay, but yeah, Blair, my bad. Yeah. Here is a Mike in McKinney. You're in the G-Bag Nation. Mike, what you think about Luka Doncic?
What's going on, guys?
Salute.
Evening. First of all, drinking Jack Daniels.
Oh, all right.
Drink Balcones instead, but you can do what you want.
Hey, whatever. Hey, what I want to say is, you know, the kid had the best night of his career last night, and the news today is, can he get along with Rick and, you know, will he stay around because of Rick? I mean, why don't we just enjoy this kid for what he is? We got 3, 4, 5 years of him at least and let him do his thing. I mean, he's in the infancy of his career, right?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Tim McMahon did really ruin it by writing an article like right after that where it's like, Luka and Rick, do they get along?
You know, it was poorly timed. I think he'd been working on it for a week and it happened to publish this morning.
He was going to ride it because he's off to a good start, and then he gets 42 points and a triple-double and then 35 points and 25 minutes triple-double.
Well, Mike said it off air talking about it. Rick probably likes it. Like, he probably admires that Luka is willing to fire back at him. It's like, all right, he's like me. He's got conviction.
And that was like a year ago.
What do you mean?
In the story?
Oh.
Luka firing back at Rick. That was a story a year in last season.
Yeah, in November. But I think that Luka, they're creating, and in the article it says, look, they're creating chemistry. I mean, last year was the first year of both of them together. Now we're in the second year. Now they've added Porzingis to it. And, you know, there's a lot of chemistry things. But I don't think Luka's afraid to tell Rick, you know, what he thinks and feels. And I think, not saying Dennis Smith Jr. is a good basketball player. He's struggling mightily in New York. But Dennis, I think, cowered away and was just like, I just don't want to be a part of this. If he's going to be like that, I don't want to be a part. And Luka's like, no! Like, I'll be a part of it, and I'll listen to you, but you listen to me right now, too. And I think Rick likes that from his guy and not like a, like, oh, I don't know why you say that to me.
As long as you acknowledge the first part of, yes, I'll listen to you, too, but you can't do the part where it's like, screw you, coach.
Yeah. Can't be Rhonda.
But I thought, whatever the case, that in that McMahon story, there was a lot of real stuff, you know, that deserves to be talked about. And maybe today wasn't the perfect timing for it, but it was a realistic story about the challenges of Rick. And will Rick potentially scare off Luka, or will Rick and Luka cancel each other's greatness because of the personality conflicts or whatever? But all in all, it was a positive story about how this thing is heading in the right direction. And to answer the question, Mike and McKinney, why can't we just sit back and watch him play? Because that won't fill segments or websites. You know what I'm saying? It's no fun to just be like, hey, the game's coming up. Yep, it sure is.
And here's
it's
the
tomorrow.
Stats.
And here's the stats. Yeah. Okay, let's go to line 4 here. It's Patrick in Dallas. Patrick, you're in the G-Bag Nation. What you think about Luka?
What's up, gentlemen? Tolo. Normally call me homers. I'm going to call it a grand slam. I'm pretty sure Luka is going to get a championship next 3 years. I expected him to be the NBA MVP this year. The vision this guy has, I haven't seen anything near it. What he's doing from year to year, jump, he's just a polished player. We have the pieces around him right now to go win a championship. I'm pretty sure we're going to win this year.
I like it, Patrick. You're on a roll there. MVP, championship 3 years, maybe this year. I disagree on the pieces around him. I think they got to get one really awesome player in, or three or four above average players.
There could be a ton of injuries around the league, and it is what you're drinking and what you're thinking. So if he's been drinking for a few hours, that's okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about how great the Greek Freak got. And I know he can't shoot, and he still can't shoot, but he had to lose in the first round. And then last year he had to lose in the conference finals. There's the history of the NBA, for the most part, shows, unless you're Magic Johnson and you show up as great as he was, and I know Luka's like that, but
great,
he had
team too.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the team and other Hall of Famers on that team, that Luka didn't join with, you know, other guys like that. So it's tough. There's usually steps that have to be taken in the playoffs to get to where we need to be.
You know, I really think right now you got to talk about LeBron with the Lakers and Kawhi and the Boston teams, and you know that they're a little bit ahead right now as far as the overall makeup and guys in their prime. And I don't know if Luka's going to have to go through the trials and tribulations. You know, he might be ready to jump a couple of those steps, but it also has to do with how, you know, dominant the current champion is, and the Warriors are out of the mix. You know, if this was coming along in 2014, 2015, you might have to think like, well, we got a half decade before it's even open for possibilities. But I think this thing's pretty open. Here's Tim in Falls County. You're in the G-Bag Nation, Tim.
Salute.
Salute to you. What you drinking?
General, I'm drinking a little cold beer that is not sponsored by the Cowboys, but I'm also sipping on a little pot still bourbon.
I like
it. There it is.
Close to my home.
All right.
I know you're looking for negative thoughts, but I don't have
any.
No.
He's good.
This morning, I came over, had coffee with my daddy, and I asked him if he saw what Luka did last night.
What did daddy say?
No, but I saw what he did the night before last. Well, that's about what you need to know right there about that man.
Yes, sir.
I don't know why I agree with a couple callers ago. We just got to feel good about this man. Why can we not be happy? And it's amazing. We're getting ready to see greatness happen right before our eyes. Dallas Mavericks, it goes back to all of long time ago. They've been over in Europe. Here we go. And that's what I'm thinking.
Appreciate you, Tim. That's a good call right there. And we all agree with you. Like, why can't we enjoy it? It's been the rare text. Maybe one out of every 10 or 15 texts, would you say? I don't look at the Autoflex Leasing fan text.
It's the minority, but there are people out there that aren't fans of Luka for some reason.
If fake Errol Spence and that last caller had a show, I wouldn't even care if it was a good show. I would listen. Those are just good voices and great deliveries.
I agree, man. You guys are great. Let's go to Randy in East Texas. And a good evening, Randy. What you drinking?
An ice cold Pepsi.
Nice. And what you thinking about Luka?
Man, I'm thinking that haters are going to hate. Sit back and just enjoy the show. The kid's only 20 years old. I mean, when LeBron came in the league, everybody was hoo-hawing, and he's turned out to be, what, the best, you know, neck and neck with Jordan?
Goat worthy.
If Luka, I mean, he was the youngest man to, but fastest man to a triple-double in NBA history last night. I mean, that game was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But everybody just needs to sit back and chill. And Donnie Nelson, he's the European whisperer. I mean, he's not going to let Doncic walk. He's not going to let Kristaps Porzingis walk. And everybody just chill out. I guarantee you by the end of the year, they'll be making noise in the playoffs. Kristaps Porzingis will have his legs under him. He'll be getting those 20, 21, 22 rebounds, scoring 26.
Appreciate the call, Randy, in East Texas. He says y'all just need to chill out and enjoy it. Yeah, you know, there is the Porzingis storyline of how frustrated he might be, and then I don't know how people are not liking Luka as much. I think it's those folks that just maybe they don't get it or they don't see it.
If Luka never got any better, he'd be like a 7-time first-team All-NBA guy. If he never got better at all.
That's a good point.
That's what he'd be.
That's a good point. Let's go to Brandon in Fort Worth. You're in the Nation. Brandon, what you thinking?
What's up, guys? Drinking water until I get over to the Eagle's Nest.
Nice.
With this hot girl I'm about to pick up. I thought you guys might appreciate that.
That is fantastic.
Listen, keep praising that boy, by the way. Boy.
We don't say that anymore, sir. Nobody Young deserves man. To be called She's that. He's a man.
Sorry, sir. Hey, listen, I like the argument about James Harden. Let Luka.
Your phone broke.
See what the stats look like there.
Say what? You faded out there. What'd you say? What was that last point you made?
I said let Luka get to the stripe 15 to 20 times a night and see what the stats look like with James Harden. Back to that kid. Back to that gentleman about seven calls ago.
He is unbelievable, James Harden is. I saw an interview with Damian Lillard the other night, and he's just like, you can't defend him. You don't want to defend him. If you get anywhere close, he's going to the free throw line. If you tap him, he makes it look like he's been incredibly hurt. And it is a complete skill. It's brilliant what James Harden is doing to put himself on that level. And he is getting to the free throw line 14 times a game and making 92.5% of his free throws. That's huge. You're getting an extra 12 or 13 points every time you suit up, and that's how you get close to scoring 40.
It's weird. If you see him shoot 10 free throws, you're like, oh, James must have not been getting fouled tonight because he only got 10 free throws. Now, I did look back real quick. I looked at LeBron James' career. No playoffs his rookie year. No playoffs his second year. Lost in the second round his third year, and then made it to the NBA Finals his fourth year. Got swept by the San Antonio Spurs. So because he's getting compared to LeBron James and the things he's doing at 20 years old, just throwing that out there, that was LeBron's path to at least making the NBA Finals his first time.
Good stuff. Here's KT in Dallas. You're in the nation. KT, what you drinking?
Hey, I'm drinking Merlot. What's up, guys?
What's up, man? And what you thinking about Luka?
I believe that we have our European Jordan. And that he's going to bring us 6 rings just like Jordan did to Chicago.
Dang. Oh!
And I know times are different and teams are creating these monsters, but just like Dirk defeated the Miami Heat monsters, whatever monsters are created to stop Luka from reaching his rings, he's going to defeat them too.
Wow, 6 rings, Euro Jordan. Appreciate the call, KT.
I have an update on Leighton Vander Esch for you.
Okay.
I'm Todd Archer here. He will not play Sunday at New England because of a neck injury that's flared up and required an MRI. Vander Esch will be examined in a few weeks to see if the inflammation has calmed down.
So he'll miss most likely Thanksgiving? That's a week from today. I mean, if he's going to be reevaluated in a couple weeks, that means he's missing 2 games.
3 games.
I was thinking being optimistic. I was thinking, are we not going to see Leighton Vander Esch anymore this year, maybe?
That's possible. So is it the initial neck injury?
And he had... Coming out of college, there were teams that talked about a neck injury, and his camp denied that there was anything from the combine
Had
anything to do with the neck and that he was totally fine. But there's a little history here.
The neck injury that he sustained 3 or 4 weeks ago, that looked very serious. The way he was down on the field and the way that it appeared to stretch and all that, then you put a little bit of history upon it. Aggravated today or whatever happened today, he wasn't on the injury report, but we got the news just about an hour ago that he was going to miss Sunday's game. That's sounding more significant.
So you're thinking, Gavin, Sunday, Thursday?
Yeah.
And Jeff, and you're thinking maybe the season?
I mean, if you're going to check back in a few weeks, that sounds bad.
Yeah, that sounds like the KD type of stuff. Well, maybe he'll play in this series. We'll reevaluate here at a certain point. Fingers crossed for Leighton Vander Esch, and then fingers crossed for Sean Lee remaining healthy. Fingers crossed for Joe Thomas getting back in the practice field tomorrow. Travis and Garland, what you drinking tonight?
Water and cough syrup.
Oh, sorry about your luck. What you thinking about Luka?
I think Luka is going to be perennial MVP. I think he's going to win titles. I think he's going to draw the Joker from Denver, put together a European dream team squad.
Yeah.
And Luka Doncic has gotten me to watch basketball. I love basketball. He's gotten me to watch basketball more times this year than I have over the last 3 years. Part of that's because I have 3 kids now, but big part of that's Luka Doncic.
I hear
hot take, Cowboys 34, Patriots 17. Let's go, Cowboys!
Love it, Travis and Garland wiggling in some Cowboys. Very appropriate this time of the week, this time of the year. I'll tell you one more thing on Luka. We're heading for Luka versus Giannis. That's his matchup. That's his bird to magic. That's what I think is going to be on center stage in the NBA for the next decade or so, these two guys.
Wow. And Luka's going to be hitting step back threes and looking at him going, do you think the NBA can answer that?
Do you think the NBA would like that if you had a 5-year span of European versus European in the NBA Finals? Do you think that would bug them at all that it's gone away from American players being the best players?
Nah, I don't think so. I think it would make it more international. I bet it would bug some fans, some media members, maybe some owners of teams that we want to make this, but... you know, it's bound to happen, and it is happening right now. Could you name anybody else? I mean, unless Kawhi Leonard keeps his prime open, which I think it's closing already.
I wonder if that would bring major change in the way that we're developing our best players AAU style if Luka and the Greek Freak for a 5 to 8 year period take over the NBA.
I mean, our entire system is engineered around the idea that we have to steal 3 or 4 years of labor from them. If we would take it from that to we have to make sure they're as good as possible by the time they're 17 or 18 years old, I think we could definitely get the upper hand on the international players. But, you know, it's kind of becoming like soccer. And in the English Premier League, there's plenty of teams where the majority of players aren't born in England, and it remains the most successful league in the game and in the world. Okay, we're coming back to mix with the nosebleed seats. You're going to have CA and Wolchuk next year, and the G-Bag Nation will pick their brains about what's coming up on their show.
Check out Bill Dickinson's group of dealerships, DallasTruckWorld.com, Mesquite Mitsubishi at MyMitsu.com, and, of course, SouthwestKia.com.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here wrapping up, getting set for some nosebleed seats as Wolchuk and CA are in. I guess Chiafalo is going to be in for Troy tomorrow morning, so his services are needed elsewhere.
Not quit.
That'd be a strange move. I have seen people very early in promising radio careers be like, you know what, it's not working out, I'm out of here.
This isn't for me.
Hudgy Bear.
Yeah, it wouldn't totally surprise me. It has happened, but... We have Leighton Vander Esch breaking news. We got into it earlier this hour. The full report's at 1053thefan.com. And, you know, it's looking like they're going to reevaluate him in 2 weeks, which could mean, you know, that we're getting ready for the 3 games in, 10 days or whatever happens. Mm-hmm. So it looks like he's going to miss the next 3 games. A little bit of a concern there for Leighton Vander Esch and his neck. How much, for you guys, does that impact how you feel about the Cowboys and their chances to win here over the next 6 games?
I think it impacts it a little bit, not because Sean Lee hasn't been playing well when he does play. And I like Jeff's theory about, hey, they improve a little bit in this particular game, this situation with Sean Lee getting a lot of snaps. But what I fear is, can Sean's old body handle that schedule without getting a hamstring?
Yeah. That's the issue. Can Sean Lee stay healthy? Remember, you know, he balled out in that previous game. He had to start, and then he's listed. He's got a pec injury, right? So I think this Sunday, it does not impact my thoughts on if the Cowboys can win or lose. It might even be a benefit. I agree with you on that, Jeff. But
where's Rolando McClain?
Yeah, he's still out there. Do the Cowboys still have his rights?
Good question.
I believe they let go of his rights, but he was reinstated, wasn't he? He's allowed to play.
And he's still looking for the guy that burned down his house.
Well, if he could find anything made of glass, he could pray.
Shots fired.
Okay, Luka. Allegedly. Luka's obviously the big topic. Yes. You guys are going to be getting into him quite a bit, I can imagine, tonight.
Yeah, right off the top, who has the better odds to win an MVP first? Is it Luka or is it Dak?
Both of them, ironically, were rookies of the year.
They both have an opportunity.
Well, Dak's season ends first, so obviously it's Dak because he's going to win it.
He's going to win it this year?
Yeah.
Lock it up?
You can get pretty good odds on Dak right now. You can get really good odds on Pat Mahomes, too, by the way.
Really? What are those odds?
Yeah, like plus 1,600 on Pat Mahomes.
Those are really good.
I think we did this a month ago. In the last 20 years, take out Adrian Peterson's 2,000-yard year, the last quarterback, like a – won't say a great record. It was 11-5 was Rich Gannon. That's the worst the record of a team of a guy who still won the MVP. So the Cowboys, I would say, have to get to 11-5 for Dak to be a strong consideration to win the MVP would have to be an 11-5 season. I think if they go 10-6, I just don't think he can win it.
Also, when was the last time someone's won it back-to-back? Pat Mahomes, he would be winning it back.
Yeah, I bet Peyton did at one point, probably.
That would have been my guess as well.
But I don't know.
It's been a while.
I mean, at this point, don't you think Lamar Jackson's team is probably going to go 13-3 or 12-4, which is going to be tough to...
Right now it's Lamar and Russ for most people.
And what do the Seahawks have, 3 or 4 losses?
Two
losses.
Yep.
Okay, so you need a couple of 2-loss teams to take 3 or 4 over a 6-game stretch, probably not likely. And Dak talked about that after today's practice. He was asked about MVP, and he said, well, if that happens, it would mean that I'm on the team with the most wins in the conference, at least. Mm-hmm. So I'll be keeping my fingers crossed for more wins, and until we get there, then it's a non-topic. Okay, so that one's fun. I think I would have to take Dak because I don't know if Luka is ready to do it this year. I don't know if he would get the recognition for it this year. Mm-hmm. And I think next year maybe the Cowboys, if they don't win the Super Bowl, are going to hit the free agency and spending and retaining their own players with the kind of contracts that could be disadvantageous in the future, but could set them up to have a very significant talent advantage in 2020.
Are you very confident that one of the two will win an MVP within 3 years?
Yes. Yeah. I think Luka's trending in a way. And who else is it going to be? You know, LeBron, Kawhi.
Or Giannis.
Giannis. Yeah, and Giannis has already got one.
I don't think Kawhi will ever win an MVP. He doesn't play enough.
And I don't think LeBron will win. I don't think LeBron will win another one, only because AD is such, they're running everything through him, even though LeBron's setting him all up and getting triple-doubles. I just think for some reason, LeBron, they're like, well, it's an afterthought because AD's with the team now.
Yeah. You getting stars happy, Zach? You're a guy that talks stars.
Yeah, I'm excited about the stars. I think the stars have the best chance to win a championship out of the DFW sports teams. I think this year, realistically, the stars could do it. This is a team that's built for postseason success. With the veteran moves they made in the offseason, being able to forecheck, I think this is a stars team. That was the big reason I think they struggled at the beginning of the year. Their forecheck was not solid at all.
And they've got Ben Bishop, who I trust in goal.
Hey, and a goalie can take you all the way. That's all you need. It's standing like having a dominant
his head.
Pitcher. Yep.
All right, well, here it comes, the nosebleed seats, 7 to 11 right here on DFW Sports Station. Stay tuned. Getting into Luka right out of the gates. Great Cowboy stuff, star stuff to talk about as well. So till tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m., you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Salute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.